bless you, Lord. Worship you. Praise God. Praise God.
God, we just thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place.
Worship you, Lord. Worship you.
God, we thank you for the opportunity to come together from all different places and just come together, God, to put a sound into the atmosphere.
Worship you, Lord.
Just a sound of unity. A sound of expectation.
Praise you, Lord.
A sound of expression of our love for you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
And as we were worshiping, I was reminded of the passage where the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light.
Worthy is the Lamb of God. Bless you, Father.
How many of you know that the Spirit of God is hovering over this place? How many of you know that the Spirit of God is hovering over this region? How many of you know that God wants to awaken this region to a place and to an experience that we've never seen before? How many of you know that God is so jealous for His people? God so desires His people to come close to Him. God desires people to come to Him. That He pursues us. He pursues us with everything that He is. And He desires to encounter us. Amen? So God, tonight, we just invite you in.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you, God, that your presence is here. I thank you, God, that you couldn't wait to encounter us. So God, I pray that you reach down deep into who we are. And God, I pray an awakening in every heart in this place. An awakening in every heart in this place. An awakening in every soul in this city of Jersey Shore.
Hallelujah.
Every city in Lycoming County. Every city in this region.
Worship you, Lord. Worship you.
Nothing is impossible for God. Nothing Hallelujah. Is too great for God to do.
Praise
Come on.
Worship you.
He's an amazing God. So God, we're expecting
Bless
you to do
Lord.
A mighty work.
Thank you, Jesus.
And God, I pray for the anointing and the fire of God to come on Pastor
Worship
Daniel tonight.
You, Lord.
I thank you for the
thank
word
you,
that
Jesus.
You've put in his heart. And I pray, God, for that seed to go deep inside
Lord
of our heart,
of God.
God. I thank you, God, that it comes with that experience. I thank you, God, that you are here to awaken us.
Hallelujah.
To awaken us to another side of you that we haven't experienced yet. That you're here, God, to touch our hearts and heal us in places we didn't even know we needed healing in. That we didn't even know we needed freedom.
Bless you, Lord.
So, God, I thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Praise you, praise you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. How about we standing and giving God praise? Come on, let's just stand up and just worship God. Come on, let's praise God. Give Him thanks this evening now. Give Him thanks tonight. Give Him praise, for He's worthy of all praises, worthy of all glory, worthy of all honor. His name is Jesus. He's the mighty one of Israel. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the fairest of 10,000. He's the bright and the morning star. And therefore this evening hour, we'll lift His name up. Come on, just praise Him. Give Him thanks. Give Him advance thanks. Give Him advance thanks. Give Him advance thanks. Let the presence of the Lord fill this tabernacle this evening. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We glorify you. Thank you, Master. Father, we thank you tonight, O God, for this awesome presence. And as we bow before you, we come in no other name but the name of your Son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and take control over this meeting. Thank you, God, for bringing us together. Thank you, Lord, for everything that has been said and done thus far. But right now, we thank you, God, for your presence and the demonstration of your Holy Spirit, God. Minister to our hearts as we open our hearts, God, to you. Thank you for ministering into our hearts. You declared in your word and you said, God, him that hath the ear, Let him hear what the Spirit says. And Father, this afternoon, evening hour, I'm praying that our ears will be anointed to listen to your word. Our hearts, oh God, will be fertile to receive your word, oh God. Even as the farmer goes and puts a seed into the ground, let your word, oh God, come onto the ground, that it will be fertile enough to receive your word and bring forth an harvest, oh God, that we never experienced before. We thank you tonight, oh God, for every individual that's bowed before you, every man and woman, oh God, every child. We thank you tonight, and Father, we vow to give you the praise, glory, and honor. Even as I minister tonight, you take the center stage. Let me take the backstage tonight, and you minister as you desire. Take your glory right now, and all the saints of God, put their hand together and give God praise tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. So bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Go ahead and take your seat tonight. I want to greet you in Jesus' precious name tonight. Amen. Amen. Praise God, praise God. Thank you, sir. I want to greet all the pastors tonight and their wives and the leadership. Thank you for being here tonight. May the Lord bless you. I also want to greet Pastor Don, Pastor Sherry, and their leadership. Thank you for inviting me over. It's an honor yet again to be here tonight. A special thank you to Pastor Peter and Pastor Tammy tonight. It's because of the relationship that I have with them that we have this connection, and they always make it possible for me to be in this area. So bless the Lord. Thank you. And we appreciate what God is going to do. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you for being here tonight. Now, I probably will be speaking a little bit fast. I probably will be sharing a few extra scriptures tonight. And if the leadership allows you, you can pull out your phone and you can record it. So when you go home, you will not just try to remember this Indian from South Africa, but you will remember the word that he has ministered. So if you want to record, you can do that, whether, you know, you can do video recording, whatever. I don't mind. I'm not afraid of your phones. All right? Praise the Lord. How many of you are excited to be in the presence of the Lord tonight? Bless the Lord. Now, I'm going to be here for three meetings tonight, tomorrow night, and Sunday morning. But tonight, what I'm going to do is just, lay the foundation. We lay the foundation tonight for what God is about to do. And tomorrow night, I believe it's a party night tomorrow night. Party in the presence of God. And so we're going to allow God to do some great things. And then we finish off on Sunday morning. So tonight, I'm going to lay the foundation as to what God is about to do. Let me read a portion of Scripture. And the portion of Scripture that I want to read tonight is found in the book of 1 Corinthians. And I believe that is the theme for this weekend. Bible declares in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and I want to take my reading from verse number 19. And the Bible says, "But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in the word, but in power." That's the theme tonight's. So, the kingdom of God is not in the word, but in the power. Amen? Yes. Praise God. Praise God. Now, many a times we all heard sermons being ministered. We all heard preachers preach, and that is good. And one of the things that I am challenged with is that oftentimes we hear a word, and the word is about how you're going to be blessed. How you're going to be healed? How you're going to be delivered? How you're going to have your breakthroughs? How you're going to experience miracles? And so we get excited and we walk out of a meeting, and months go by, years go by, weeks go by, and we still don't experience a miracle. The situation is this: we are told about our destiny in experiencing the miracle, but we are not told about the process to get to our miracle. Hallelujah. And it is important for us to understand, yes, there is a promise that we will have the blessings, we'll have our breakthroughs, we will have our prayers answered. But there is a process, there is a vehicle that needs to carry us from one point to our destiny. And many times we make this mistake in Matthew 6:33. We always want to take the last part which is comfortable, and everything else will be added unto you. But we forget the part that is before that, which says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you." So tonight I want to lay the foundation for us to know that God wants to bless us irrespective. God is a God of His word. God is a God of His promise. God is a God of His character. And if He says, I will bless you, He will bless you. If He says, I want to heal you, He will heal you. If He says, I want to deliver you, I will deliver you. If He says, I want to raise you out of the dust, He will do that. But what we need to understand is understand the process that where, how He's going to do it. And if we understand the process, we will be able to experience the miracles. Amen? Praise God. Now, I want to first and foremost clear the theme for this weekend. We need to understand the theme. And somewhat, it seems as though it is contrary. It seems as though it's confusing. Because the Word of God says, for the kingdom of God is not in the Word, but it is in power. And many a times we look at it, wow, hey, you are now... It's not true. You know, how could it be? This is a word. The word that God is talking about is not this word. Because if you understand the word of God and you begin to read what is in the First Corinthians, the Apostle Paul has been going around ministering. And as he was ministering in various cities and various towns, there were people that were giving their hearts to the Lord. And the Apostle Paul raised up leaders in the various cities and towns. And churches were born. When churches were born, churches grew up. And the bigger the churches, the bigger the problem. The bigger the churches, the greater the confusion. And so what was happening, the churches were growing, and constantly there was problems over there where the Apostle Paul was listening to his problems, where the churches were arguing over little things. Like many people ask the questions, which came first, chicken or the egg? Who cares? As long as I got a meal on the table. Doesn't matter to me whether the chicken or the egg, it doesn't matter as long as I've got a meal on the table. So people want to argue this. And many a times it is not about because they want to know the answer. No, they just want to see how clever you are. And so they ask the questions. They're constantly talking about stuff. And Paul says in verse number 19, he says, if God wills, I'm coming to visit you. I'm coming to visit you. And when I visit you, I'm not interested in your cheap talks. I'm not interested in your cheap talks. I'm interested in the manifestation of the power of God through your life. You see, talk is cheap. Anybody can talk. But to experience and execute the power of God, it takes an anointed man and a woman of God to execute the power of God. Hallelujah. Is there somebody in the house tonight? Praise God. So Paul is saying, I'm coming. I'm coming. In fact, if you go to verse number 21, he says, do you want me to bring a rod or what do you want me to bring to correct you? Ask me, what's the word? And so Paul says, I'm coming. But I'm not coming to listen to your cheap word. I'm coming to see who has got the power. For the kingdom of God is not in your cheap word. For the kingdom of God is not in your cheap words, but it is in the power. And so we find that tonight, as we look at the church globally, the church has gravitated towards cheap words. And as a result, the church has lost its power. It has lost its essence. It has lost its purpose. And it's become powerless. That's why the Apostle Timothy says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 5, he says, we claim to be Christians. We claim ourselves. There is a God, but we deny the power thereof. We claim there is a God. We want to speak about this God. How much we know about this God. How much we learn about this God. But deny the power thereof. And Paul is trying to correct this mistake. Paul is trying to correct us. And through the Holy Spirit tonight, I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit also will bring correction through the Word of God. Amen? So Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:5 says, We profess to be Christians. We profess to be the children of God. But we deny the power of God. And as a result of that, the church is powerless. Jesus dealt with the same issue. Jesus dealt with the same issue. And as he walked around, he saw the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They all had their face. They didn't even bath. They didn't even wash their face. All the marks, because they want to show everybody that they were fasting. And they began to ask questions and questions upon questions upon questions. And Jesus said, listen, man. In Matthew 23 and verse number 27. He said, listen, you guys are hypocrites, man. You look like a tombstone. Whitewashed on top. But inside, you are like dead man's bones. Jesus is addressing the same problem that Paul was talking to the church. You're so whitewashed on top, but inside you are dead man's bones. And the reason is, Paul speaks to us in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 14. He says, the carnal man will not be able to understand the spiritual things. When you speak about the spiritual thing, when you speak about the anointing of God, when you speak about God's anointing working in and through you, when you speak about the spiritual things, Paul says in 2:14, he says, the natural man will not be able to understand that, because you got to have the Spirit of God in order to discern what's in the heart of God. You got to have the Spirit of God to discern what's in the mind of God. To a man, natural man, he says, these things of the Spirit of God will be foolish unto him. But moreover, he declares in the book of Romans, chapter 14 and verse number 16, he says, the kingdom of God is not food and drinks. The kingdom of God is not food and drinks, but the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So if we want to experience the kingdom of God, we got to experience righteousness, peace, and joy. And the only source of these things is Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ is the author of peace. Jesus Christ is the author of joy. Jesus Christ is the author of righteousness. And unless we know, and we know, and we know Jesus Christ, and accept him as our Lord and Savior, we will never experience peace, righteousness, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So when the word is preached, the word of God, not just cheap words that we design and manufacture, but when the word of God is preached, the Bible says in the book of Mark chapter 16 and verse number 17, Mark 16 and verse number 17, the Bible says, and this word will be followed by signs. In other words, after the preaching of the words, there must be miracles. There must be deliverance. There must be breakthroughs. And he says, after preaching of this word, there will be these signs. And these signs, in verse number 20 of the same chapter of Mark chapter 16, he says, these signs will only follow those who believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Are we all there right now? So we have to believe in order to experience these signs. So I'm going to take the next few minutes tonight and speak about the power of God through his word. The transforming power of God through his word. So we take the word of God and we take the Spirit of God and we take the bonding agent that is inside us, which is called faith. Is there somebody here tonight? Amen. We take the word of God, the Spirit of God, and we connect it with our faith, and we have to experience miracle. True. We will be experiencing those signs and wonders. But let me go through the process very quickly tonight so that we understand what God expects from us. First and foremost, we need to understand, the Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 26, it says, let us create man in our own image. So I'm going to use some examples tonight, and I ask them to please bring this to me. This is a glass that has been manufactured. But tonight we're talking about God who has created you and I. He says, let us create man in our own image. So that means God has created each one of us in his own image. So tonight we don't doubt our identity. We should not doubt our identity. I come from Africa, but I don't come from the baboon.
That's right.
Amen. Hallelujah. So my identity is in God. Because the Bible says in Psalm 139 and verse number 14 that my God fearfully and wonderfully created me, putting all my inward parts together. So that means it doesn't matter whether you like my hairstyle or not. God likes it because he fearfully and wonderfully created. I don't care whether you like my smile or not. God created the way he liked it. I don't care whether you like my body or not. God created the way he liked it. I don't care the way I see. God created the way he likes it. He fearfully, he makes sure, he looks at it. He fearfully and wonderfully created it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So when you look at yourself in the mirror, thank God for you. Thank God for you. Because you are the only one that God created the way you are. Out of the almost 7 billion people across the globe, there is never another one that is identical to you. After God created you, he broke the mold, he threw it away. He says, I don't want my people to be an imitation. I don't want them to be a duplicate. I want them to be an original. So tonight, every single one of us are originals. And so God created us in his image. Beautiful. How many of you think this is beautiful? God created us. Genesis 2:07, verse number 7, he says, out of the dust of the earth. And then what he did, after he created us, Genesis 1:26, and the latter part of it says, and then he breathed into us. You see, when you look at this container, it's of no value. No value. In fact, no matter how much I hug it and hold it next to me, if I'm thirsty, it's got no value. I could walk around with this all day long, but if I'm thirsty, it's never going to produce water. Likewise, each one of us, God has created us, and he expects us to carry a purpose. And the purpose is only through his spirit. And the Bible says in the latter part of verse number 26 of Genesis chapter 1, it says, and God breathed life. God breathed life into each one of us. I'm going to take another one. God is breathing too much. You don't mind me dirtying your place, right? I'm a crazy preacher, man. So what happens? God breathed life into us. Breathed life into every single one of us. Now what happens? This has got a purpose. It has a purpose. And so what happens? Just like me and you, God takes us. We were nothing. He puts his spirit into us. He sends me on a mission field. I come. Whatever the Lord gives me, I pour it into somebody else's life. Would you like to drink this, sir? It's clean, don't worry. You saw me opening the bottle. How about you, sir? Yes, sir. Just in case I'm accused of being a male chauvinist, let me get some of the women also. You don't want to drink? That's okay. Scared of the anointing or what? So what happens? We drink of this. And every time we drink of it, God pours in more. You empty yourself. You go into the world, go to the nation, and come back to the house of God. God fills in more. He fills in more. He fills in more. And that's what we got to do. We were singing a song. You sang the song. Lord, fill me. Outpour. Pour into me. Pour into me. And so we come constantly. Whenever we go out ministering, we come back into the presence of God. Just fill me, Lord. And that's what God does. Whilst we're going out and filling all over, the Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 17, God gave an instruction. And he said to Adam and Eve, and he said, this old garden, you don't eat of it. You can eat of the old garden, but right in the midst of it, there is a tree of good and evil. You don't eat of that tree. That's an instruction given by God. And there are instructions that God has given to us that we should do and should not do. But unfortunately, the Bible declares to us in the book of Genesis chapter 3, from verse number 1 to verse number 5, verse number 6, you will find that man, Adam and Eve, has disobeyed that authority that God has spoken about. That rule that God gave, they disobeyed. And when they disobeyed, what has happened, God's presence was removed. And what happened to man was sin entered his life. Is there any sinners in the house? Ooh, thank you. Some honest people. Yeah? Anybody else? Thank you, sir. Any pastors? Yeah, sure. Of course. Why not? We pastors, we don't lie. We all have sins. Yeah? Amen? So what happens? Sin. Now, when that happens, this is life represented. This life here is on a Saturday afternoon, Friday, Saturday afternoon. This life here is on a Sunday morning. Friday, Saturday is a boogie night. But come to Sunday morning, glory, hallelujah. Our voices change. We put on this robe and, you know, Sunday morning robe. And you can see, that's what happens. But you got to understand, the enemy only needs a foothold in our life. He needs a foothold in your business. He needs a foothold in your marriage. He needs a foothold in your home. As long as he got that permission, it's a legal entry that we've given him. What he does, he comes into that place and he stirs it up. Stirs it up. And when he stirs it up, he leaves us in that point. How many of you would like to drink this? Sir? No. Anybody else? No, none of you want to drink it. Why? It is dirty. Life is such. When our life is like this, nobody really wants to be part of our life. Nobody wants to take counsel from us because our life is in a mess. It's in a mess. And when you're at that point, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2 and verse number 12, you don't have God, you don't have Christ, you don't have hope, you are foreigners to the commonwealth of Israel. We are cut off from the promises of Abraham. The promise that God has given Abraham, we cut off. And so we remain in that position. But I'm so glad tonight, God just doesn't leave us there. Yes, sir. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 4 say, but God. Somebody say, but God.
But God.
But God.
But God.
The Bible says, but God loved us with his multitudes of mercy. With his multitudes of grace, God loved us. He loved us with a reckless love. Come on, somebody. Amen. Reckless love that he will break down mountains, he will break down walls just to get to you. So much so that the word of God declares in the book of Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8 that whilst we were yet sinners, that God demonstrated his love towards us. Whilst we were yet sinners, we wasn't cleansed, we wasn't pure, we wasn't righteous. whilst we were yet sinners, in the dumps, in our alcohol, drugs, or whatever it is, whilst in the midst of it, God demonstrates his love. And tonight you may be sitting here and saying, "Wow, my brother from Africa, I appreciate you sharing that with me. But you don't know how far I have gone. You don't know what I'm going through in life. You don't know what I'm experiencing. You don't know. You don't understand." Yes, sure, you're so right. I don't understand. But one thing for sure I know tonight. One thing for sure I know in deep down in my heart. That whatever you are going through, every single challenge of yours, every single problem that you're going through, there is somebody in this book has the same problem. Hello? Every single problem that you are going through, every single challenge that you are going through in your life, there is somebody in this beautiful book that has been recorded as a testimony of how God has transformed their life from what they was just like you to who they become. Maybe you don't believe me. Let me share a few. Bible speaks to us and tells us that David cried. In other words, he was a crybaby. David cried. Bible says in Psalm 6 and verse number 6, David says, "My pillow is wet day and night. My bed floats in my tears." In other words, the troubles that he was going through has broken his heart to a point that every single night he lays in bed and he cries and he cries and he cries. I remember when I was a young man at the age of 17, when I lost both my parents. I lost my sister on the 20th of November 1979. I lost my dad on the 6th of January 1980. I lost my mom on the 12th of March 1980. Within 6 months, I've lost the most closest of my family members. Every single day I would go to bed with tears in my eyes. There was emptiness within me every single day. And David is saying, this emptiness caused me to cry. My enemies that were against me caused me to cry. I don't know about you tonight. How is it with your workplace? How is it in your marriage? How is it in your family life? I don't know. How is it with your finances? But there are times when you're crying, when nobody sees, your pillow is being wet. But praise be to God, the transforming power of God tells us in Psalm 120 and verse number 1, the Bible says, David says, "And when I was in distress, I cried unto the Lord and he heard me." So I come to let somebody know tonight, you're crying according to the word of God in the book of Psalm 30 and verse number 5. You're crying only last for the night. But joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. Is there somebody here tonight? Your crying will only last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. There was a woman, a widow, in the town of Zarephath, going through a time of poverty, to a point whereby, when the servant of the Lord in the book of 1 Kings chapter 17 saw, and he said, "Would you please make me a bread?" And she responds in verse number 12 of 1 Kings chapter 17. She says, "As the Lord liveth, I only have a jar of flour and a little bit of oil, that we may bake the last cake. My son and I would eat it, and we will die." Speaks about poverty. Speaks about a lack. I don't know how many of us are seated here tonight, go through the situation whereby we cannot meet our bills at the end of the month. We don't know what to do. We don't know how to pay for certain things. The way we used to enjoy life is no more such. We don't have the finances anymore. We're going through a time of poverty. We're going through a time of recession. Just like this woman. And she said, we only had one meal. We'll have one meal, after which we will eat and we will die. But praise be to God. The transforming power of God. The Bible says, when the man of God spoke to her, when she responded with faith, and she responded positively, and she responded with a faith, and he said, if the man of God has spoken, then I must go and do what he has told me. He said, listen, woman, this is what God is saying. You need to go and make the cake for me first. Be obedient to that. She says, well, if that's what God says, then I'm going to do it. She goes and she makes that cake, man. And she brings it to the man of God. And verse number 16 of the same chapter of 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 16 says, and this flour never stopped producing. And the oil never stopped producing. For days it began to produce and produce and produce and produce. I come to let somebody know tonight, you will be like a tree that is planted by the river. Psalm 1 and verse number 3 says, and you shall be like a tree that is planted by the water. You will flourish all every season. You will not wither away. And everything that you touch, you will prosper. My God, everything that you touch, you will prosper. But it has to take faith. It has to take courage. It has to take knowing the character of God, that when God says something, he's not going to change his word. There are some that are sitting like Job in the house. Job, the Bible says, in Job 1, as you read on, I want to paraphrase it. Job had everything. In verse number 1, it says, he was righteous before God. He was upright. He shunned all evil and did that which was right in the sight of God. So he had a good profile. God blessed him. In verse number 2, the Bible says, and God blessed him. And God blessed him even with children. He had 10 children, 7 sons, 3 daughters. All of them. It was a plan made in heaven. Everything he had. He was the wealthiest man upon the face of the earth in the country. And he had everything going for him. And all of a sudden, in verse number 19 of the same chapter of Job chapter 1, the Bible says, and there was a wind that came from the north, south, east, and west. And as the wind came, it hit the house. All that he had disappeared. That thing which he feared most came upon him. I come to let somebody know we got to be careful. We got to be careful. Because God will allow the enemy to empty our hands in order to fill our hearts. And so when everything was taken, Job in verse number 20 tore his robe of righteousness. He threw it one side. He shaved his head, put ashes on himself, and he went and worshiped God. He said, naked have I come into this world, and naked will I go. But blessed be the name of the Lord. And as he began to worship God, in the midst of his storm, in the midst of his crisis, in the midst of his emptiness, in the midst of his loss, as he began to worship God, as you read the portion of scripture, you will say that Job did not sin. Neither did he hold God accountable for what has happened. And the amazing grace of God and the faithfulness of God and the favor of God came upon him, that in chapter 42 of Job, and verse number 13, 12 and 13, God restored everything that he lost. In fact, he doubled everything that he lost. A double for your trouble. Hallelujah. I don't know what you have lost in life. I don't know whether you lost your business, whether you lost your family, whether you lost your loved ones. I don't know. But you cannot blame God for it. You cannot hold God accountable for it. All what you need to do is worship God. Amen. Knowing the character of God, that he's not here to harm you. He's not here to destroy you. He's not here to take revenge against you. He's here to bless you. Amen. When you lost everything, God will be able to do it. Some of us are sitting like Anna. The Bible says in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 1 and verse number 10, the Bible says, Anna went into the temple of the Lord and she began to cry. Bitterness. She was in anguish. And she cried to the Lord and said, Lord, would you not remember your handmaiden? Would you not remember me? I am barren. I so much love to have a child in my hand. She cried unto God. She was like any other woman that wanted to hold their very own child in their hand. I don't know, somebody maybe here tonight sitting over here and you cried out to God. You so much want a child, but years have gone by. You're almost coming to the point whereby your shelf life is going to be over. And the fear of that is coming more strongly. But the Bible says, as she began to cry unto God, verse number 20 says of the same chapter of 1 Samuel, and she conceived. And she conceived. And not only that child, but she had more children. I've come to let you know tonight, God is not going to give you only what you ask. Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20, He is able to do exceedingly. That means more than what you could even ask or even imagine. Is there somebody in the house? God knows your heart. When you know God, He will not just give you what you want. He will give you much more than what you want. There are some people, like a woman called Tamar, that are seated around. Bible says in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 13 and verse number 14, the Bible says, and Tamar went to give meal to her brother, half-brother. And this character dragged her into bed and he abused her sexually. Lost a dignity. Lost her innocence, not because she wanted it, but there was a pervert in the house. There are people sitting in the church that they're broken. When they think about these things, it affects them. When they think about what has happened in their life, how those that they trusted have abused them, that becomes an hindrance to worship. But I come to let somebody know, if you go through to Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 3, the very same woman that was abused by her half-brother is recorded in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on now. The woman that was abused had become part of Jesus Christ, our Savior's life. Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 3, it's recorded there that she's part of his life. I come to let you know tonight, you may be abused and thrown away one side, and you've gone into a cocoon. You don't want to trust anybody anymore. You don't want to be around anybody anymore. You don't want to worship God because your joy has been robbed. Your faith has been robbed. Your dignity has been robbed. Your ego has been robbed. But tonight I come to let you know that God, you are still part of God's family. Tamar was still part of God's family. She was still part of God's family. And you are still part of God's family. I want to give you one more example. One more example I want to give you. You will find Sarah. Sarah in the book of Genesis chapter 16 and verse number 4. Where Sarah, at an age where she wanted to produce a child she couldn't produce. She manufactured a program and allowed her husband to go and have an affair with another woman called Agai. Circumstances drove her to allow this, knowing well that that is adultery. Allowed that. And many a times in life, we allow that. We know what is happening on the other side, but we don't say something because of circumstances. We don't do something because what else is there for us? What else is there if I walk out of this marriage? What else is there for me if I walk out of this house? But praise be to God. When you have faith in God, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse number 11, that Sarah, in her old age of 90, had a very own child. It's a favor of God upon her life. And I come to let somebody know tonight, the book of Psalm 89 and verse number 34. This is what the word of God says. Psalm 89 and verse number 34. God says,
I will not break my covenant with you. Neither will I alter my word with you. In other words, God is saying, if I promised you something, I'm going to do it, sir. I'm going to do it, ma'am. No matter what it is, I am a God of my word. I will not alter my words. I will not break my covenant with you. God loves you so much. So tonight you're sitting here and saying, sir, I understand what you're saying. But you still left me in this condition. How do I change this? What do I do about this? It's easy. God orchestrated. Whilst this was happening, in the Old Testament, as you look at Leviticus chapter 9 and verse number 3 and 4, you will find they took sacrifices once a year into the temple. God didn't want that. He didn't want this pigeons and goats and cows and all that. No, he didn't want that. He says, I'm looking for one man. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse number 30. He says, I sought for a man amongst them. Just one man. That will stand in the gap and make up the hedge. That when I am angry, that I will not destroy. And the latter part of the verse says, and I found none. Can you imagine the heartbreak that God has? All of us happy, clappy, hey, glory, hallelujah, shouting and singing. And he's saying, I'm just looking for one true worshiper, and I can't find none. I'm looking for one true servant of the Lord. I cannot find one. I'm looking for one true ambassador. I cannot find one. But this is the reckless God. Reckless love. His love go beyond where money can go. His love go beyond where our wealth can go. And he says, if I don't find somebody, it's okay. I will give my own. That is why John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that whomsoever, that includes every single one of us that are seated here. It doesn't matter about our creed, color, education, whether we're rich or poor. It doesn't matter. It says, whomsoever believeth in me should not perish but have eternal life. So that still doesn't help us. But amazingly, this is what the word of God tells us in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17. It said, he that is in Christ is a brand new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. And for this mind of mine, I just could not fathom that. It is difficult to even sit here and think about it, that if I'm a man of sinful nature, how is it God going to make me into something brand new? How is it going to change my condition? And yes, it is simple. So I carried a cross from Africa. A cross from Africa, I carried a cross. So today, what we need to do is, there's a cross. What we need to do, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, we need to receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. So we receive Jesus Christ. And normally what happens is when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we're still partaking of the world. So Jesus Christ is dominant inside us. That is why even though we're sitting in church, you see, salvation is instant. But deliverance can take years. So what we need to do is when we receive Jesus Christ in our life, there is a process that we need to adhere to. And the process is calling upon the Lord on a daily basis. Salvation is like riding a bicycle. Every day, Lord, cleanse me. Wash me. Take away my sins. Oh Lord, make me brand new again. Bring me back to the state that you have me created in me. Lord, you are able to do it. You are able to do it. You are able to do it. It brings you back. Not only the word, but there must be a demonstration of what God can do. If I could do it to this water, God can do it in your life. He's able to do it to you. And so tonight I want to let you know that when you are in Christ, you are a brand new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things. That means every aspect of your life is renewed. You come back to the original state. And only Jesus Christ can do that. Amen. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 27 says, Christ in you is a hope of glory. Amen. Jesus Christ is the only God. Yes. Now somebody not listening to me. I said, Jesus Christ is the only God. Amen. Let me say to somebody on this side, Jesus Christ is the only God. I've served 3 million God and goddesses. They did nothing. But Jesus Christ is the only God that is able to forgive me, who said, forgive him for he not know what he does. Amen. God took me, cleansed me, and made me brand new again. Put his spirit in me. And for those that will have the spirit of God tonight, this is a promise of God. He says in Psalm 125, verse number 1 and 2, it says, those who have faith in God, they will be like Mount Zion. They will never be shaken. He says, even as the mountain surrounds Jerusalem, so will the Lord surround you. My God, you got a beautiful scenery here. Look outside and see how the mountains surround you. No matter what wind blows, you guys are comfortable here.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because you are surrounded. Like the mountains surround Jerusalem, so will the Lord put his hands around you and he will surround you. But not only that, sir. He says in Psalm 112, verse number 1, 2, and 3. He says, a man that feareth the Lord, his children will be mighty in the land. In other words, your children will be the head and not the tail. You don't believe me, right? Your children will be mighty in the land. And in verse number 3 says, in his house there will be wealth and riches. This is a promise of God. This is a promise of God. And I believe tonight, God is promising. And we got to get to a place whereby we have a childlike faith. I'm about to close right now. We got to get to a place whereby we forget all this arguing about doctrinal issues, arguing about which came first, the chicken or the egg. Who cares? You know, which side will the donkey's tail face, downwards or upwards? I don't care which side it faces. Forget about arguing about all that. As long as I got Jesus. And I know Jesus loves me. And the presence of God is all around me. And whatever I ask, that he will give it to me. That's all that matters. So what we need to do is go back to this childhood faith. Take all our doctrines. Take all our dogmas. Take all that we learned. It's good to learn. Hey, believe me, it's good to learn. But when you're learning, what you learned becomes greater than God, then that becomes a problem. There was a girl that was standing on the side of the pool, and her daddy was inside the pool in the water. And he shouts to her and he says, sweetheart, come on, jump. Come on, baby, come on, jump. Daddy's in the pool. She stands there just watching at him. Come on, sweetheart, jump. And she's now, haven't been in the pool before. And in her mind, she's trying to kind of work this whole thing out. If I jump, has this man got enough muscles to hold me? And she's thinking about that. And he says, come on, sweetheart, jump. Daddy is calling you. She's thinking within herself, man, if I jump, what happens if he let go of me? Come on, sweetheart, jump. And she's thinking, has he got enough medical insurance? If I jump and break my leg or my hands, has he got enough sufficient medical insurance? And she's processing all this thing in her life. And while she's standing there and processing it, then all of a sudden, the brain jumps to another side. And suddenly, She recognizes that same voice. That same voice. She recognizes that voice. That when an umbilical cord was about to be cut, it was the same voice that said, "You look like an angel. You look like an angel." It's the same voice she recognized when she had her first fall and she wrecked up her knees. She recognized that voice that said, "Sweetheart, don't worry, daddy is here." She recognizes the voice when she couldn't pick up the food and eat at the table herself. She recognizes the voice that said, "Don't worry, baby, daddy will feed you." She recognizes that voice every night when she went to bed. It was the last voice that said to her, "I love you, my angel. Have a good night." And she said, "If all this time, if that voice and that man took care of me thus far, he's able to take me even further." And so she jumps into the water. Tonight I come to let you know, if God brought you thus far, he didn't bring you so far to put you under the bus. He brought you thus far because there's a greater plan. He brought you thus far because there's something better. The best is yet to come. Turn around to somebody and say, "The best is yet to come." No matter what challenges you've gone through, no matter what heartache you've gone through, the best is yet to come. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Let's stand to our feet. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus. The worship team, come and join me tonight just to sing one worship song, and I'm about to close tonight. Praise God. I'm not sure what God is up to tomorrow, but I trust that you will come tomorrow and ask God to do what he's planning in your life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Worship you, Lord. Worship you. I don't know what you're going through in your life, but when you come to a place of understanding who God is and know his character, when you know God's character, you will know that God will not break his promise. When you know God's character, you will know that he will not change his covenant. And today, it's that trust that you must place in God. Know him. Worship him. Seek his face. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call upon me and I will answer, and I'll show you mighty things that you don't even know." There are things that we don't know. There are things that we don't understand. But through the Spirit of God, he is able to open our eyes. He says, "I have not seen, neither has the ears have heard, neither has it entered the hearts of men, what I have prepared for you, for those that love me." It is about our love, our faith in God, that wants to connect. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, man. As the Spirit of the Lord leads you, give me a worship song tonight. Praise God. Don't worry about anything else tonight. Look unto Jesus as the author and the perfecter of your faith. My God, thank you, Jesus. Worship you, Lord. Spirit of the living God. Worthy is the Lamb of God.